Yesterday, can you hear?
Hello, can you hear?
Okay. Yesterday, I spent most of the day trying to encourage somebody. They're going through some very hard times, extremely difficult times. They would say repeatedly, I am of no use to anyone. I am no use to God. I am no use to the church. I am no use to you. I'm just no use any longer. Sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? Sometimes we get discouraged. And Jesus knew his disciples would get discouraged. And this is how he, or what he said to them in the 16th chapter of John. He spends almost the entire chapter encouraging, trying to encourage them. And in the very last verse, as he concludes what he said there in the 16th chapter, he says these words, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Jesus made it very, very clear that in this old world we're going to live in, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have problems. And at times we will get discouraged. Jesus never promised Christians that life would be a bowl of cherries and everything would just go smooth and easy. And in fact, he said exactly the opposite, didn't he? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. 5 years ago, on April the 3rd, of 2016, I lost the dearest friend I've ever had. Very suddenly. We talked. We had been friends since 1971. And he was not only a friend, he was the type of person that I could tell him anything I wanted to. And I knew it wouldn't go any further. It's hard to find people like that. And in fact, I was very blessed. I had three friends like that. I heard someone say one time, and I don't remember who it was, but he said, if you're fortunate enough to have one friend like that in your life, you are a blessed person. If you have two like that, you are really blessed. And if you have more than that, you couldn't ask for any more. I had three friends like that, and they all died within a year and a half of each other. And I went through some pretty tough times when that happened. But the Bible tells us that we are to not allow the things of this world to get us down. So if you'll turn to the reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to look at four things that Paul had to say about this. If anybody went through troubles, it was the Apostle Paul. Do you remember when Paul was talking to the Lord on the way to Damascus, and he asked the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you're persecuting." He told him to go into the city, and there he'd be told what to do. He would need to do. And Barnabas, if my memory serves me right, says at some point, "Oh, Lord, I've heard about him. He's caused great trouble on the church. He didn't want to talk to Paul. This was at a later time. And Jesus, the Lord told Barnabas, he said, you go and talk to him. And it was Barnabas, you remember, that introduced him to the church. After Paul became a Christian, he fled for about a 3-year period. We don't really know where he went for sure. But he came back. He wanted to join himself to the apostles. And they were scared of him. They were still scared of him because they knew what he'd done. And they were scared what he might do. And it was Barnabas that spoke up and said, you go to him, for I will show him many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, later Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in the reading, I want you to notice four things that he says about this. If you look at verse 4, and let me say this because I'd written this down and don't want to forget to say it. It is a great advance spiritually to be able to say that I believe God has allowed this difficulty in my life for my good and His glory. And many times when we have difficulties in life, and we have them, we all have them if we live long enough, you know, how do we look at those difficulties? Well, if we look at it from the standpoint that it will be for my good and God's glory, then that's good. And you'll find 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 28 talking about that. We won't read that tonight. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning down there at verse 7, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul says that when troubles come, when problems arise, when things are not going as well as we thought they ought to go, we have to remember that the power of overcoming anything in this life is in God. That's where the power is. It's not within our own selves. And I think a lot of times, I know I have, I don't know about you, but I've always sometimes thought, well, I can handle this all by myself. I don't need any help. But that's not true. And so we need to remember that it is a great advance spiritually to be able to say that. It shows more spiritual maturity. It shows that we have our total trust in God. And whatever happens to us while we're here on this earth, it can be used for the glory of God and for our growth spiritually. And sometimes that's hard for us to see. And he says there, the power may be of God and not of us. Ability to deal with things is from God and not within our own individual self. And then he says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We need to remember that no amount of pressure can defeat us. And Satan is going to do everything within his power to put pressure on us to try to defeat us. And that pressure comes from a lot of sources. Sometimes it comes from being on a job. Sometimes it comes from family. Sometimes it comes from government. Sometimes it comes from community. Sometimes it comes from someone who we thought was our closest and best friend. But Paul says, even though we're troubled on every hand, we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair, because we have God on our side. And so as we live our lives and as these problems come, and they will, sometimes it's very hard to know the answers. Sometimes it's very hard to know what to do. I'm dealing with a major one right now, and I mean a major one. And there's a couple of people in here know what I'm talking about. Linda Donmore is sitting back there, knows what I'm talking about, don't you, Linda? Jimmy sitting there knows. Eddie knows. But it's a major. And spent all day yesterday working on it. And again today, as late as 20 minutes before I came here. Making a little progress, but I don't know how far we'll be able to go. But God's on our side. I know that. Christians, God is on your side, and He'll help. He may not help in the way that you want Him to help, and He may not answer the solution to the problem the way you would want it answered. But God is on our side. We're troubled, Paul says, but we are not defeated. We're not. We cannot and will not, as long as we let God be on our side, allow anything to defeat us. And then in the next verse, he says, we are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Opposition will not deter us. And if we live a Christian life and we take a stand, and there's times that we have to take stands, then we're going to be opposed. Today, in this world in which we live, there's lots of opposition against Christianity in there. A lot of opposition. Helen and I were talking as we left the house today. Most of you know where we live, but we've lived there 20 years, and we have never, ever seen anyone leaving on Sunday morning going to church. Now, maybe they go later. Maybe they're already being somewhere. I don't know. But there's not a lot of spirituality, is what I'm saying. And there are some in there that I've talked to that are totally opposed to Christianity. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They believe this life is it. And they take somewhat of a lighthearted stance toward those who believe those things as we do. So this is a lot of opposition. But he says there in the 8th verse, part B, perplexed but not dispersed, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. There is nothing in this life that can happen to us as long as our faith is in the right place. And we keep it in the right place and in the right being, then anything can be done to us that will destroy us. There's only one thing that can destroy us, and that's if we turn our back on God and on Jesus Christ. That will do it. And of course, that's what Satan is wanting. And then he says in the latter part of and also in verse B, 8B, we're not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. We will never be forsaken. Jesus made the promise to his disciples, I'll never what? Leave you. I will never leave you. And he makes that same promise to us. Christ will never leave us. Satan will not be successful in overcoming us and overcoming the church. Jesus said, all what is given to me in heaven and earth? All power. We got to remember that. I was talking to a man just the other day about this, and he was talking about all the atom bombs and
missiles and guns and bullets and all this stuff. And I said, well, have you ever stopped to think that if it were possible to take all the atom bombs and all the nuclear missiles and all the guns and all the ammunition in the world and put it in a big pile, or a pretty big pile, I guess. But you put all that together, if it's possible to do it, that does not represent 1 ounce of the power of God. We've got to remember, this is God's world. He created it. It's still His world. And His purposes will be fulfilled. So we should not allow things like that to discourage us. Paul says, not cast down, not be destroyed, not be perplexed about these things. Because pressure of any kind cannot defeat us. He also says there that confusion will not discourage us. Now, this person that I've been working with and talking with is extremely confused. Badly confused. But there's a reason for the confusion. But they are very confused. They don't know sometimes where they are. They don't know why things are happening that are happening. They don't understand why it's them these things are happening to. They sometimes say, what have I done to cause this? And they hadn't done anything to cause it. But there's nothing in this world, spiritually speaking, that can confuse us and our faith in God. And he says there, perplexed but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. There are things that happen in this life that we have no control over, that can, sometimes confusion occurs. But it's not because we've done anything in and of itself to cause it. Sometimes things just happen. And then he says that opposition will not deter us. And we talked a little bit about that. But he says we're persecuted in verse 9. We're persecuted but not forsaken. Now we will be persecuted. I, my own personal belief, and I know Jimmy and I have talked about this, that there's a very good possibility that there will be a great persecution come on this nation. I believe if things continue to go the way they're going in certain areas, that probably will happen. But what do we do about it? Throw up our hands, say can't do anything about it, don't have any control of it, so I'll just quit. But persecution can't deter us. It can't deter us from doing what is right, standing for what is right. If it costs me my life to take that stand, then it just costs me my life. But that's okay. I know a particular individual that he took a stand on a particular issue, and they killed him because the government didn't want him saying what he was saying. So they said, well, we'll just shut him up. Guilty. But that's okay. They'll answer for that. And he was a faithful Christian. And he'll be in glory. A lot better off than we are right now. Persecution cannot deter us. Last of all, hard hits will not destroy us. When I was in high school, I weighed, believe it or not, 125 pounds. My senior year, I weighed 125 pounds. Then I married a good cook, and that all changed. And as hard as I try, I can't seem to get rid of But I don't want to get rid of the good cook. But I can't get rid of the results of the good cook. Because I like to eat. And I like to eat her cooking. I've told her time and time again that my mother was a great cook. But you know, it's strange when you marry and you get used to your wife's cooking. And then you go back home and you eat your mother's cooking. It doesn't taste the same anymore. Now, I never told my mother that. And she was a great cook. But my wife's a better cook than she ever was, even though she was a great cook. But hard hits will not destroy us. He says struck down but not destroyed. Nothing can destroy us. The only thing that can destroy us, there's one thing that can destroy us, and that is giving in to Satan and giving in to false teaching and giving in to those who try to shut us up from saying what's truth and living what's truth. That can destroy us and will destroy us if we do that. But as long as we live the Christian life, nothing can destroy us. We can handle a sick child, a sick parent. We can handle an unreasonable neighbor. We can handle a cranky boss. We know what to do when we have a fender bender, which I had my first wreck. I started driving when I was 16. I had my first wreck when I was 73 years old, and it was a fender bender. It didn't even damage my truck. Put a dent about that big in it. That happened about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We can handle when the electricity goes out. We can scrimp for a few days if funds get short. We can do all kinds of things. But we cannot allow the hard things of life to defeat us or destroy us. Mike Tyson once said, "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. If we live long enough, we will get punched in the mouth more than once. And sometimes we see the punch coming, and sometimes we don't see the punch coming. But it's called life. So Paul's basically saying, don't get discouraged, because Jesus has promised that he'll never forsake us. He'll be with us to the end. And when judgment day comes, we'll be glad that we live faithfully. Because that's all that's going to matter. That we stayed faithful to the Lord. Don't let anything deter you from living the Christian life. Don't let Satan have his way with us. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we're going to sing a song to encourage you. If you're not yet a New Testament Christian, not in the way that the denominational world teaches, but by the way, what the Bible teaches. The Bible simply says, very simple, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, in the book of John, if you believe not that I'm he, you'll be destroyed in your sins. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Upon that belief, are you willing to confess that? Jesus said in Matthew 10, whoever confesses me before men, him I'll confess before my Father in heaven. And he who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. Don't want to get to the day of judgment having denied Jesus Christ as the Son of God and all of a sudden make our mind up, hey, you know, I probably made a mistake about that. Maybe I can still do it. And then we need to repent of sins. In Luke chapter 13, I believe, verses 3 and 5, he says, tells people to repent of their sins. Peter told those on Pentecost, When they asked, "What shall I do?" He said, "Repent." And then we have to be baptized. Immersed in the water, not have water sprinkled on us. Several years ago in the Philippines, I'll tell you this quick story, and then the rest will be yours. I was teaching on baptism. Now you have to understand, in the Philippines, that for the most part, it's highly Catholic. Highly Catholic. And they have been taught to have some water poured on them or some water sprinkled on them, and that would baptize them. So I got up at one place, I don't remember even where it was, and I told them that that was all not true. That was totally not true. That baptism is an immersion. It's a burial. And turned to the scriptures and showed them. And then be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And we had about, I don't remember, John, you were there, but I think it was like 14 or 15, my memory serves, that responded to the gospel that day. Now they had been taught sprinkling or pouring. After the lesson was over, the practice has always been for Brother Robert to get up and say, sort of summarize the lesson, because he's speaking the language and interpreting as I speak, or as John speaks. And so he said, "Are there any questions?" And this lady stood up in the back, and she was a nun. And they went back and forth for over an hour. And what she was questioning was this idea that the only way you could be baptized was to be immersed into water. That's what she kept questioning. And went back and forth and back and forth. And when the service was over, there actually were four nuns there that day. And she left. And I think maybe another one, John, I don't remember. I know two of them stayed for the fellowship. And I think three of them, I think she was the only one that left. And Robert told her, "Go back and see your priest and ask him to explain to you when it talks about baptism being a burial. And about the Ethiopian eunuch, ask him about those verses, why he doesn't teach that baptism is by immersion." I don't know whether she did or she didn't. But that happens quite often over there when you speak. They'll ask questions. So if you're here tonight and you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to confess that, you're willing to repent of your sins, you're willing to be baptized, immersed into water for forgiveness of sins, then you can leave here with the full assurance and hope that if Jesus comes back tonight, that you'll go to heaven. So if it's a led-in song, if you desire to respond anyway, if we pray for you, we'd be glad to do that. So where's the song? There's Tom. Come on, Tom.